out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki. In this podcast, I'll be sharing some of the things that I've learned over the last few decades as a guitar player, as a composer, as a band leader and a sideman, as a researcher and student of music, and sharing strategies for practicing, improving your craft, and being a creative person in the modern world. These podcast episodes are audio versions of videos that I've been making over on Patreon for some time. So if you like what you hear, come on over to Patreon, Work with Miles Okazaki, and for the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can join into the community there, ask questions, get responses, make requests for new types of episodes, download special materials that I've posted, such as free books that I've written, exercises, computer programs that I've built, all kinds of things like that. And also, there are episodes that are primarily visual that are only posted there, such as specific technical studies on the guitar that require you to see what I'm doing, and things like sight reading. So, that being said, please enjoy, and best of luck on your musical journey. Channel, and today I'd like to take a look at epistrophe. So the story behind epistrophe apparently is that it's kind of attributed to Kenny Clarke and Thelonious Monk. And there's some connection with Charlie Christian as well. This is a Charlie Christian guitar, by the way, 1940, the one that you always see in these videos. And Charlie Christian is obviously a very important player in terms of people that have been influential to me. He's kind of the original electric guitarist. So on this instrument, he's certainly one to check out. I have some videos and stuff on Charlie Christian as well on my YouTube channel if you're interested in that. So, anyway, I guess Kenny Clarke and Charlie Christian were hanging out in a hotel or something with a ukulele, messing around with the ukulele, and Charlie Christian was trying to show Kenny Clarke, the drummer Kenny Clarke, that is, you know, how he might put his fingers to make some chords. And I guess that Kenny Clarke came up with this form or some version of it. In any case, it became a kind of a closing theme for many shows at Minton's Playhouse and places like that. And then eventually Monk recorded it in 1948 on Blue Note with Milt Jackson. And that's the version that I'm going to use as a reference. On that version, they play this little... Monk is playing this, and the chords are kind of, it's going between a D flat and a D, like a D flat 7, D 7 kind of sound. And I'll just describe the form here real quick for those that don't know it. It goes, okay, so that's like a kind of a theme that goes up a whole step. to E flat and E seven. It does that again. Then back to the original. So that's kind of the beginning of the song. It's like an ABBA structure, if you think of the A's as being the D-flat part and the B's as being the E-flat part. And then it goes to the bridge. 2, 3, 4. That's the bridge. I'm gonna angle this down a little better so you can see my hands. And so it's F sharp minor. Yeah, I'll play it up an octave. Again, F sharp. That's B7 there. Outlines a D flat ninth. And then a D9. And then it goes back to the theme that we were calling like a B. You know, it's the E flat 7. Back to the original one. So it's a funny form. It's kind of like, it's almost like AABA, except the second, well, I'm using A's and B's to mean different things, so that's confusing. But the length of the tune is kind of like a typical tune, except there's a reversal of the harmony on the second section. So it's like D flat, E flat, and instead of doing that again, it goes E flat, D flat in the beginning. So, you know. And does a reverse. Okay, so now on the recording that I made, I did something where I was kind of doing a hybrid of different versions that I liked. So there's a version with Art Blakey where the melody's kind of straight and Monk is kind of going something like this, and the melody's kind of going do 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 do. So I was thinking about doing something like that, where I keep this some kind of triplet thing in the bass and I play the melody straight on the top. That would mean I'd have to go. I have to be playing these kind of eighth notes in the top. And I'll slow it down. I'll play an F on top. So you can see that's pretty slow. If I wanted to get it up to speed for the tune, it'd be like. It's hard to not have it turn into. Where I'm playing 16th notes instead of triplets. So. That's the feel. But when you speed it up, it's quite difficult. I even kind of fall apart on the recording, I think, on the last A section. It's just too hard to really keep it going. So I thought I'd kind of redo it here. I'm going to work it out on this video. We'll see if we can figure it out. So I'm going to do away with that whole thing and just do the whole thing in kind of a triplet feel. So the melody will swing instead of being straight. It'll be like, instead of being, it'll be. Okay, so let's see, how's that gonna work? I'm gonna use the Monk's ostinato thing from the 1948 recording. And I wanna put on top of this, I wanna put, two have to fit together some kind of way. So let's see how it works. Now I'm missing, I'm just putting them kind of going from one to the other. Now I have to put the note in between. Right? This, that B flat has to go in between the melody notes. Actually not too hard either, because these notes are going, excuse me while I turn off this snare drum. One second. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. We're back. You see that this is already kind of a swing triplet. The first part of the D natural outline shape there. So we've got those are just kind of together. The B flat goes with the D, and the B natural goes with the A. Another B natural come in there. Now as I'm doing this, I want to get them to really sound like they're two separate things. So to get a different tone, I'm not doing this with fingers. I'm going to do all the bass notes with the thumb, because that has a much different sound, and I'm going to do the melody with the fingers. Also, I'm going to let the melody ring while the bass is kind of shorter, you know, keeping this kind of staccato-ish. Next part of the melody, the first time it starts on the second beat, and the next time it starts on the first beat. So it goes, so it's going to have a different relationship to that, to this thing. So the first time it goes, let's see. Next time it's going to be, again, it's going to coincide with the notes I'm playing on the bottom. So the D flat is, the D flat is going to go with the D flat, and the D natural will be a tritone with the A flat. So. This. Oh. I'll keep it going. Well, that's not right. I'm sorry. Because this, the continuation of that goes to a B flat there. And the melody is also a B flat, but then it goes up to a B. So you go. It's an octave, and then it's a flat nine. So I'll play it. So that, I'll play it real slow. Okay, so that's that. Second time of the melody, the second phrase is like, well, I guess the third phrase, because that's the first and second phrase, and the next time it comes around, it goes down instead of going up. Instead of going up to B, it goes down to E. So all we have to do is just replace. It's going to be the same kind of picking pattern and all that, but it's going to be, different combinations of notes. So. It's going to be. Now I'm playing. This is a bit awkward. I might just practice going between. Why am I using the 2 and 4 instead of like 1 and 3, which would be nicer? Because I need to hit this B natural, because it goes. That's still on the bottom, so I need. Be able to get that while I want to hold this melody note. So in order to do that, I gotta hit it with the second fourth finger. Sometimes when there's an awkward thing like this, I'll just sit here and drill it for a little while. The next phrase. Not too bad. So instead of, it's actually easier because this one involves a stretch and this one doesn't. Keep that note ringing. You gotta kind of. Of course, I could cheat and go use an open string, but that's not gonna transfer for when the whole thing moves up the whole step. So I want to get something that works in both keys. Okay, let's try the whole. Four phrases. Not bad. I'm gonna try and speed it up. Get it so it's swinging, you know. Okay, now for the next one, now I could just transfer the whole thing. I could just transpose the whole thing up a whole step, but I kind of like the later versions. I think on the Monk's Music version of this tune and a couple other versions, they change the melody a bit. So instead of going E flat to E, C to C sharp, which would be an exact transposition of, sorry, this would be, would be an exact transposition. Instead, the first two notes are transposed up a minor third from the original, so it actually starts on E. So the melody's a little different there. I kind of like that. It gives it a nut. It gives it a little twist. Of course, that's going to make it more difficult, but for us. But let's see how it works out. So instead of, be a transposition, so the ends of the phrases are the same, but it's the beginnings that are different. So instead of going, which is the fingering is 2 4 1 2 3, that's what I did down here, that's what I did down there. So that is, now it's gonna be, so I'm going 1 1 2 instead of 1 2 3. That's the same. And then this is going to be, instead of, it's going to be, go from a minor ninth to a perfect fifth. Now, I can't go like this because I gotta hit this octave here. So the perfect fifth will be played with the, let's see, we'll slide the first finger up and get the third finger on it. Hope that makes sense. So that phrase is gonna be, so I'm doing the whole phrase because we already worked out the fingering on the other one. I'm just changing those first two notes. But here it is, slow. So let me then Play the first, like, A, B, B, A. Ah, dang it. Concentration to keep going on that, and some trust in your fingers that you've worked it out through repetition. After that, we've got, maybe this would sound good in octaves. Yeah, I like that. Back. So the whole thing is going to be like this, kind of slow tempo.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And if you'd like to see a video version, head on over to patreon.com and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you sign up through the browser, it's a very minimal fee because I'm trying to create a large community of guitar players and other musicians. If you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. But in any case, over there you'll find all of these podcasts in video form, as well as many that are not included here. Guided practice sessions, listening sessions through favorite albums, discussions of repertoire, technical things on the guitar, philosophical things about creativity and making music. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support of creative music.